Jesus is the bread of life. If you would, open your Bibles to John chapter 6 if you want to be able to make reference. Thanks to Aaron for such a beautiful reading of a very long passage. I appreciated that and enjoyed listening to you. Let me ask you a question this morning. Have you ever found yourself standing in front of an open refrigerator just looking? Some people are looking at others. Maybe you're hungry and you just don't know what looks good. All right, so you're standing there trying to decide what it is that you want to eat. If you're a teenager and you're home for the summer, I remind my boys frequently, you're bored. Use your school stomach. Go do something, right? You don't need to eat. Sometimes we're up in the middle of the night because we can't sleep, and that's why they put night lights in refrigerators, because midnight snacks are a real thing, right? Sometimes you're standing there and you're not hungry. You're just searching. And you know what that story is about. You're searching for something, but you're not sure what it is. You're not looking for food, you're looking for something. Something to fill the ache that you just can't quite name. The crowd in John chapter 6 had just eaten a miraculous meal. Bread and fish were multiplied so that everyone ate until they were full, and there were 12 baskets left over. You would think that they would be full now, right? That they would be satisfied, but they weren't. They come looking for Jesus again, hoping for another miracle, another sign, another meal. And Jesus looks at them and he says, "You're looking for the food that spoils, but I want to give you food that endures to eternal life." They are looking for a baker. Jesus offered himself as the bread of life. Now, in this discourse about him being the bread of life, Jesus says some very hard things, and some things probably that are very familiar to us. He uses the phrase eternal life several times. Now, most of us were taught to hear eternal life as being life after death that never ends, right? It's a calendar that doesn't have an end point. It's a stopwatch that goes on forever and ever and ever. It's this long, endless part of the story. And we think about quantity of days. It just goes on forever. It is what we might call everlasting life. But I believe when Jesus uses the word or the phrase eternal life, I believe he does mean that it is never ending, that it is everlasting. But I believe he's after something deeper. To eat his flesh and to drink his blood is to take him into your life. To make his life your life. It's not just about the length of life, but the quality of life, the kind of life that you experience when you abide in Christ. And it's the kind of life that starts now in the presence of God, but it never ends. Jesus will say that if you eat my flesh and drink my blood, you will abide in me. I thought it was interesting reading some of the works of John Mark Hicks. He calls this eating of the flesh and drinking of the blood participation in the new creation. He says that eternal life isn't just a ticket somewhere else. It's the life God is spilling out into the presence. It's the awareness that the same love that raised Jesus from the dead is pulsing through your veins because you have partaken of the blood and body of Jesus. So when Jesus says, "Whoever eats this bread will live forever," he isn't just promising immortality, everlasting life. He's offering us intimacy. I know that because in John chapter 17, Jesus will say in verse 3, and this is eternal life, that they know you, the only true God, in Jesus Christ, whom you have sent. In that passage, eternal life is not just about endless days. It is about intimacy, knowing. Uses the same word that is used in the Old Testament of Adam knowing his wife Eve. It's about intimacy. It's about a shared life. It's a meal that never runs out. So when we think of eternal life, it's okay to think about endless days, eternal as far as in quantity of days, but dig a little deeper. Jesus is inviting us into something much more satisfying. He says, I am the bread of life. Jesus doesn't just give bread. He is the bread. He doesn't just hand out life. Jesus embodies that life. And the crowd is all excited, right? They hear Jesus say, I am the bread of life. And if you eat of this bread that I give you, you will never die. And they're all excited and they say, give us this bread always. And Jesus shocks the crowd and he says, I am he. I am. The same voice that said I am to Moses now says it again in a field full of hungry people. The bread in Moses' day fell in the wilderness from the sky, but it has now taken on skin and bone and has come walking toward us. In Exodus chapter 16, manna was a miracle that spoiled if you hoarded it. God says, only take enough for today. And because the point was not the bread, it was whether or not you trusted God. Every morning, it was a reminder that God is still here. That God is still good. God still cares. Now Jesus is saying that manna, it pointed to me. I am the daily gift. I'm not here just to make you comfortable. I'm not here just to fill your bellies. I'm here so that you can be made alive. So that you can experience true life. And then he gets into this language about eating and drinking his body and his blood. And when Jesus says, unless you eat my flesh and drink my body, you have no life in you. Now, the crowd panics, don't they? It sounds offensive. It sounds impossible. It sounds wrong. But Jesus isn't talking about cannibalism or some ritual magic. He's talking about communion. A lot of people read these passages and they go, okay, Jesus is talking about something that he's going to institute and that is going to become part of the life of the church. He's talking about the Lord's Supper. And maybe there are hints of that. Maybe Jesus is pointing us in that direction. But I don't think it's just the institution of the Lord's Supper that Jesus has in mind. This is the life that the supper that we participated in just a few moments ago represents. To eat and drink Jesus is to trust him, to abide in him, to let his character and his compassion become the pattern for our own lives. Which makes me ask the question, what are we consuming? What are we consuming? Jesus is using the bread and the blood and the wine. All that is a metaphor. What are we consuming? Well, if you go back to Deuteronomy chapter 8, Moses and God even remind the people, you shall not live by what? Bread alone, but by every word that comes from the mouth of God. And that idea of the Word of God being a source of nourishment to us is found throughout Scripture. Psalm 119, I do not turn aside from your rules, for you have taught me. How sweet are your words to my taste, sweeter than honey to my mouth. Amos is going to say that because of your unfaithfulness, I am going to send a famine in the land, but not a famine of bread, but a famine of the Word of God. So this metaphor of, of the Word of God and famine and honey and food all come together in Scripture. And my question is, what are we consuming? What are you consuming on a daily basis? There's lots of meals to choose from. Lots of voices, lots of words that we can take in. But as my mother and my now doctor frequently remind me, you are what you what? Eat. So think about what it is you're consuming on a daily basis. Does it cause you to be fearful? Does it fill you with anxiety, dread, suspicion? Or are you feasting on the fruit of the Spirit? Love and joy and peace, and patience, kindness and goodness and gentleness. Jesus doesn't just want to fill our bellies. He wants to fill our hearts. He wants to have communion with us. Now, John Mark Hicks would add that the Lord's table becomes the practice that keeps this truth alive, that Jesus is something we're supposed to feast on daily. When we eat the bread and drink the cup together, we're not just performing a ritual. We are participating in the very life of Christ. It's the Spirit's way of saying, this life you share, it's real, it's happening. You belong to me and to each other. It's about intimacy, fellowship, shared life. It reminds me of a friend of mine named Bob. Bob was homeless when I met him in Beckley, West Virginia. He had become obsessively, extremely overweight, could hardly walk from place to place, and that hampered his ability to work. He literally could not move. And so we helped Bob get on his feet, and we helped him get to the doctor and put a plan in place to help get him in a healthier place. But one of the very first Sundays that he came in, and I was still learning about Bob, he was there on a potluck Sunday. First Sunday of every month, we had a potluck. And he comes in, and he goes through the line, and he gets his plate, and he sits down, and I come over just to sit and talk, not to preach, but just to listen. I want to learn more about Bob. Bob was kind of quiet at the beginning, and so the conversation didn't exactly flow. So at some point, I simply say to him, Bob, did you enjoy your lunch? And then what he said, I will never forget. He said, oh, the food was good. But what was really good was not eating alone. See, he lived alone. And because of his health and his lack of mobility, he didn't get out much. Yeah, the food's good. But what's really good is not eating alone. To me, that's the gospel in a sentence. Yeah, food fills the stomach. But presence fills the soul. And I think that's what Jesus is offering, not just a meal to remember, but a presence to remain in. The bread of life still sits down beside hungry people, and he still uses his body, the church, to do it. That's why dining at the door is so important. It's not about the food that we're eating, it's about connecting, communing with other image bearers. So here's the question I want to end with. What does it mean to eat the bread of life today? What does it mean to eat the bread of life every day? Because that's the first thing you have to do, is that you have to eat daily. Faith isn't a one-time meal. It's daily bread. Every prayer that we pray, every act of trust, every word that we feed ourselves on from the Word of God, every moment you choose love over fear, you're eating the body and the blood of Jesus. You are drawing strength from Jesus' life within you. Make sure you spend time at the table with Jesus every single day. So I'll come back to, what are you consuming? How many hours do you spend on the computer, on the TV. I'm not saying you can't consume those things, but spend more time consuming the life of Jesus. The second thing is eat together. Bread is made to be broken. It's made to be done in communion. If you want more of Christ, share your life with other people. Share your life with other people. Communion is the act of becoming the body of Christ for one another. We're meant to share life together. So many of us feel anemic in our spiritual lives. We're starving. And sometimes that famine is self-made, because we're not feasting on Jesus and we're not feasting with one another. Sometimes the famine is self-made. That's easy to fix. Third, feed the world. Once you've been filled, you become food. You become the presence of Jesus in a hungry world. Every act of compassion, of justice, every word of hope, every table you open becomes another taste of the kingdom of God. And that's how the miracle continues. It's not bread that falls from heaven's clouds, but from human hands that are surrendered to the love of God. And we are invited into a meal that never ends. You see, Jesus doesn't want admirers who chase miracles. He wants disciples who live in his presence. And when you feed on Christ, love, your life becomes sacred. So every cup of coffee shared in kindness, every meal served to the poor, every whispered prayer of gratitude, they all become part of the same table. The table on Sunday, this right here, we just did, it's just the opening course. The rest of the week, you carry the meal with you. Because Jesus is not a loaf of bread that you finish, it's a life that you enter. His manna is for Monday, grace is for Wednesdays, peace is for Saturdays, and the resurrection on every Sunday to come. Feed on Jesus. Let him nourish you. He is the source of life. And if you feast, you will never be hungry. Let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, Jesus is the bread of life. Fill, Father, our hunger with your presence. Teach us, Father, to feed on you daily, to trust you, to share your love, and to become bread for a hungry, starving world. Sustain us, Father, by your grace. And send us out nourished by your life, that others, Father, may partake and enjoy the blessings of the table that we ourselves enjoy. It's in the name of Jesus, the bread of life, that we pray. Amen.